Wow. Well, Lord Jesus, we just give this time over to you. Lord, open, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, what you are doing. Let it be your word alone that pierces our hearts. Oh, Jesus, we just need you in your name. Amen. All right, well, this morning, of course, we come together for a time of corporate fasting and prayer. Been a powerful time, I know, for myself. I know God's been just bringing me back to some things. It's been a good, healthy thing. Never comfortable, you know, but a healthy thing. You know, sometimes that's why the Lord allows pain. You know, he created our bodies to feel pain for a reason. So we know there's something wrong, so we can take care of it, right? So the Holy Spirit brings that conviction into your life, and when he brings that conviction into a church, it's not to condemn us. It's a healthy thing to bring about change and health and growth, you know, so that we reach our full potential in Christ Jesus. After all, that is his will. But one thing that I consistently heard over and over again as I was fasting and praying, you know, it was actually the best couple of weeks for, you know, Becky and I, was this call back to focus. So if you received my email, you kind of already know this, you know, to be in focus and to bring the focus back. Not onto, you know, anything that we do as a church, but to bring our focus back onto why we do it, back onto our vision, right? To gather, to grow, and to go. After all, that's why we exist as a church. That was why Jesus chose to put New Hope in Dayton and then relocate us down here. His entire purpose for us is to gather, grow, and go, and we're going to dig into that this morning. You know, but sort of the other thing that kept coming to mind and coming to heart that really challenges me, because, you know, I love these things, and it's how I've always done ministry in the past as well, you know, is the reality that we can plan all of these programs in the church, all of these events in the church, that seem to be good and fitting. You know, our elders make sure that everything we do, it fits within this vision to do so. You know, however, if the lost aren't getting saved, if people aren't growing in their faith and growing in their knowledge and application of the Word of God, and if they're not going out into the world and restarting that cycle, you know, of gathering in the lost, then we're laboring in vain, and we're not really fulfilling the mission and the purpose for why we're here. You know, and we don't want to be ones that do that. We don't want to labor in vain. Programs and events, they're awesome, but they are a means and they are not an end. Do you understand what I mean? They're, you know, they're a means and they're on. They're a tool that the Lord uses, but they themselves are not the end purpose and goal. You know, programs, events are tools, but they are to be taken up and laid aside for a season, right? You know, I can grab my flathead screwdriver, and I'm telling you, man, I can use that thing for just about anything. You know, I can pry things with it. I can use it as a, you know, a wedge splitting tool. I can, you know, you name it, you know. But there are times and seasons when that tool is not going to fulfill the purpose that I need, you know. I've even used it for Phillips heads, you know. If you can fit that thing down in there just right, you know, you can have at it. But it's not as effective, right? And what ends up happening, I end up breaking that tool. Brokenness, and that is not the will of the Lord. So our value and our emphasis, it's not to be on a program, and it's not to be on an event, but rather what Jesus wants to achieve through them. That should be our primary focus and emphasis. That should be what we value above all else, right? And so our value and calling from Jesus as a church is to gather in the lost, to grow in our knowledge and application of the Word, to you know, to disciple, and then to go out and to reach the lost wherever they are. You know, and then this process continues in an everlasting cycle. Don't you love that? You know, it's like the, you know, the plant cycle. You know, we talked about that last week. You know, when God created everything, you know, he didn't have the lush garden that we see in all the children's books. It was in a seed form, and then it grew and it reproduced. And it's going to continue reproducing until Jesus ends it all, right? And that's how he created us as well. He created the church to be reproducing and multiplying. That disciples create disciples who create disciples who create disciples. And I'm a disciple of the Apostle Paul thousands of years later, and he's never seen my face or met me, you know? How cool is that? Discipleship. It's a multiplication process, and it continues until Jesus returns to call his church home, right? And so The reality is that's what's valuable, and that is what we want to honor, is our purpose and our mission and our calling and our vision as a church, is that we are gathering in the lost, we're discipling them, and we're sending them out to also go reach other people, right? And so if any program or event becomes ineffective in doing so, then it's just time to lay that aside for a season and do something new that is going to work, that is going to fulfill that mission and, purpose. And, I used the strip screw analogy last week, right? You know how I stripped off that Phillips head screwdriver? And I just thought, man, I got out my mini sledge, and I'm tapping it in and I'm twisting, and you get a little bit of traction for a little bit, and then you just, you strip it again, and you can keep doing that forever, and you're never going to get that screw out, and we don't want to be people who do that. And the analogy that God gave me for this week was this analogy of, a skill saw, right? Most of us have used them before. Hopefully none of us have lost digits, from them. I won't tell you how many digits I have and why I have the digits that I have, but anyways, I learn the hard way sometimes. But if I'm a carpenter and my skill saw blade becomes dull, right? I don't scold the wood for burning. Anybody ever been there? What do you do? You push harder. Right? You get angry. You're like, smoke's starting to fly, and you're like, You don't get angry at the skill saw blade. You replace it, right? So, I don't get angry at the wood. I don't get angry at the saw for not being able to push that blade through the wood fast enough, right? I need to get a job done, and so I replace the blade. It's just that plain and simple and easy, right? Why? Because the whole reason I'm using that thing is to cut wood. And if it stops being effective in doing so, then I'm going to grab some other tool to get it done. And if that means I got to get out a handsaw for a time, we'll do it. If that means you got to, get out your, you grab the tool that's going to get the job done. Because you value cutting that wood, right? That's the whole reason that you're there. You're not there to coddle that blade. Because I'm telling you, I've got blades that I still have hanging on my wall that I cannot part with. Me and that blade have been through a lot together. Me and that blade have cut a lot of things, And I have a hard time. And I'm like, I can always use it for something. You flip that thing around, you got some metal sheeting. Flip that blade around, boom, there you go. Woo, burn right through it, And I just can't part with it, And we're like that in the church, I don't know what it is. It's not even in the church. It's a part of our human nature. We do something, and then for some reason, we feel like that's just always what we have to do, and that's always how we have to do it, We do a VBS program, and it is powerful and effective because God was calling us to do it. We saw, 50 kids get saved the first year, mega sports camp, The second year, not quite as effective. The third year, it's like, okay. But we get stuck in this mindset that because we did something, we just always have to do it. We just always have to do it. We always have to do it that way. Why? Because it worked at one point. Well, think about this analogy, that blade gets dull. Just replace that blade, please. God has more things for you to accomplish, So why continue to damage the wood? Why continue to damage a saw? Why continue to frustrate myself and waste my time by valuing that saw blade above the actual purpose that it's designed to, to the purpose that it is designed for? In this example, of course, we're the saw. We're the tool that God has chosen. Jesus left this earth and he said, I commission you now. You go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded until the end. And he'll be with us through that. He's like, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you everything you need, but it's yours. I'm handing it over. You're my body now. You're my body on the face of the earth, right? 1 Corinthians 12. Wow. So we're the saw, right? Programs and events, those are the blade. They come and they go as times and seasons call us for, we could start, I'm trying to think of a program that wouldn't apply to anybody here, but we could start a program for the sake of starting a program, but if it doesn't meet any need and it doesn't serve any purpose to gather, grow, and go, then why do it? Why waste our time trying to start something that isn't going to reach anybody, right? And so that's what we have to look at, and that's what we have to consider as a church, is what is our primary purpose, and let's value that above anything else. And then what do we need to do to be effective in doing that? I feel that God is calling us into a season, right, where striving ceases. Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Ministry shouldn't be you feel like that saw, that skill saw with the, dull blade where you're just pushing and you're trudging and it's a fight the whole way. That shouldn't be ministry. That shouldn't be ministry. Ministry should be a joy. Joy. Now, there are going to be seasons and times of hardships that you have to push through. There's going to be seasons of battles. But when it comes to ministering, it should be overall a joy to do so, right? So I feel like God is calling us into a season of that, where this striving ceases, where frustration turns into joy, and where these deeply dug ruts are raised up, right? Wasn't that the whole purpose of John the Baptist, to go ahead of the Lord to prepare a way? And that's kind of our job as a church, to prepare the way for people to meet Jesus. And we're never going to prepare a way for people if we keep digging a rut so deep that people can't even see who we are or why we exist, right? You know, we want to get out of those ruts. And this is going to require some change in all of our parts, though. I talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago, we chose not to worship at the end and pray instead, you know, even though that's something I love. We got to lay some things aside. Because after all, I always say this as a family, and hopefully you guys understand this. If nothing ever changes, nothing will ever change. I mean, God can divinely move us out of the way and do things, and He has done that. But as a general rule of thumb, if we don't ever change anything, then nothing's going to ever change. And so for us to come together and be like, man, things really need to change. We're not as effective as we used to be. We want to see people coming to know Jesus in all of His fullness and glory. We want to see them growing in their faith in Him. We want to say all those things, but at the same time, we don't want to change anything. And that doesn't connect, you know. Those are two male ends. They just don't connect, you know. And there's, Jesus can be the coupler from time to time, but ultimately He wants us to, you know, play our part and fulfill that role. So, if we're generally speaking stuck and we're spinning our wheels, I'm telling you, I've tried it before, stepping harder on that accelerator, grabbing the steering wheel and putting everything into it, doesn't get you out of that rut, it gets you deeper in it. I used to have an S10 that was front wheel drive, and I learned how to drive that thing the hard way, you know. You don't get out of ruts that way. You just don't. So we can't keep doing that as a church, you know. We can't keep doing that as a church. If nothing changes for me, however, nothing's going to change for the church. And this is a mindset change that I think God is wanting to instill in us. So don't kill the messenger. Just bear with me here. Bear with me as we go through this. And I'm going to hand it over. Because after all, a church, it's not the church building. Right? We love this church building. It is an awesome tool, right? It's a tool for ministry, right? It's a tool. The church is not the pastor. You can swap out 100 pastors, right? And all that's going to change is the pastor and the style of leadership and the method of preaching and everything. You can change out the elders. You can change out deacons. You can change out the worship team. You can change out any leader in this church. But ultimately, nothing's going to change unless all of us as individuals change. Because we are the church by God's own design and purpose. And that should be exciting, you know, for us that God chose us to be the ministers in the body of Christ, right? All the leaders that are here, we're here to come alongside of you, to equip you, to teach you, to train you. And we're obviously going to be doing it ourselves as we had a show of hands, what, last week or the week before, you know. And I remember Kurt and Eileen used to do this a lot too. They'd do a hand raise and, you know, it was like their family that was getting people saved, you know, and no one else was doing it. And then they brought us in, and when they asked that, it was us and them that raised our hands that we're actually, you know, leading people to Christ. And I did that a couple weeks ago, and it was, you know, again, me and Nathaniel raised our hands. Nobody else had led anyone to Jesus in the past year. So why do we even come and sit in these chairs if we're not gathering in the lost? We're fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves if we think we're fulfilling the mission that God has called us to. And if that's something I need to change to better equip, you know, and to serve you all, and I'm sure that there are a lot of things I need to change, you know, as a leader, and I'm going to do them, whatever it takes, you know. But we got to get serious about this thing. The church is all of us working together. Therefore, if nothing changes, right, for us as individuals, then nothing's going to change for the church. And if God can't fulfill His mission for us as a church, there's other churches that God will move on to. And I know that we say we live in a little community. We've got a church 15 miles that way that has thousands every weekend. We've got a church that way 15 miles, thousands every weekend. 6 locations at this point. So we can't make excuses. I don't want God to pass us over. I don't want to miss out on anything God has for us. Right? And I know that that's your hearts too. But that means that all of us are going to have to make some changes. All of us are going to have to get serious about what we're called to do here as a church. You know, and if that means you guys want to swap me out with somebody else, you can do that. I'm fine with, you know, whatever. I'll move on. But ultimately, you know, until you get somebody up here that can motivate change out there, then that's what's going to, you know, actually cause things to happen. And I'm just being serious and raw and honest here this morning, you know. Because in all honesty, if I haven't gathered in the lost, if I haven't led someone to salvation in the past year, and I just keep doing what I'm doing, I never change anything, I never tell anyone about Jesus, then how are we ever going to gather in the lost? If I never invite anyone into church, you know, if you're uncomfortable doing that, just invite them in, you know. We'll take care of it. I'm sorry. If I never took the time in the past year, so many people will tell me that I'm not growing in my faith. But again, we have programs, and I sit there alone. Nobody comes, you know. I say, hey, what can I do? What can I do to come alongside of you? I've actually talked to some of you guys, and I've been like, man, I really feel like God wants me to invest in your life this year. And I come to you like four times over the course of that year. And I'm like, when can we get together? What can we do? And I never get anything. Man, if you want to grow in your faith, you have every opportunity to. You've got these, right? You got the Word of God in abundance. Can you imagine when we stand before Jesus? We've got the Word of God in every translation you could ever fathom, you know? In every format you could fathom. Video, audio, you name it, devotionals. You've got access to some of the greatest teachers on the face of the earth, you know, right here. There's no excuse for not growing in our faith. But what are you doing to reach out to other people and to disciple them? Did you ever think about that? Sometimes we don't realize how far we've gone in our faith, and there's people out there that could really learn from you and really grow just hanging out with you like Jesus did. Isn't that how he discipled? He just hung out with his disciples. They lived life together. That's why we launched life groups. Hey, here's another tool. Here's another program for you guys just to hang out together, just to learn from each other, you know? And everyone's like, well, what program are we doing next? Well, live life together. Hey, what's going on in your life? Can I pray with you about that? Hey, what does the Word of God have to say about this? Discipleship. Anyways, I'm going to be preaching too much here. I'm going to pass it on. And go. Finally, you're already going out into the world. This is the easy part. In fact, in the Greek, it didn't really mean like go out there. It just meant as you're going. You're already out there in the world. You're already going out into workplaces. You're already going to Walmart and Dollar General. You're going places in life. But while you're going, are you making disciples? Are you telling them the good news of the gospel? About what God has done in your life and what he's willing and ready to do in theirs? Are we doing that? Because if we're not doing that and we continue doing what we've always done, then it's never going to happen. If nothing ever changes, nothing will ever change. And if nothing ever changes for me as an individual, if I never make an effort to do any of these things, well then as a church, nothing's going to ever change. You know what will change? We'll be like those traditional churches where the cemeteries keep growing, the congregation keeps shrinking, until they put plywood over the windows and they're like, well, that's it. Man, those things used to be packed. Those things used to be thriving churches. And I'm telling you, Western Pennsylvania is full of them. Drive through some of these communities. There are churches that have closed their doors and shut up shop everywhere. And that was never God's heart or purpose or intent for those churches. You know what happened? They got stuck and they refused to change. They focused and emphasized on one attribute whenever God was like, that's not, you got to look at the purpose behind why you were doing that, you know? You know, not get stuck in the 1930s, 40s, or 50s, and that's just what we've always done, so that's what we're always going to do. And rather go to the heart of things. Why were we doing that? You know, why were we doing those things? And let's make that the value. Let's make that the emphasis. Let's make that the focus. And if there's another tool that's going to do that better, then let's do it, right? So that's the heart. So this morning, I came together in corporate prayer, and I didn't want to preach your ears off. I just wanted to kind of give you just an overview of, while I've been fasting and praying, that is what the Lord's been speaking to me, you know, and I'm just sharing it with you all. I'm not saying that I have the answers and I have the solutions, but what I believe is going to happen is I believe God is going to begin giving not only myself and the elders, but I believe God is going to start giving you all creative ideas. Some people have already come to me excited about things, you know, like, you know, let's do a muzzleloader target competition here, you know. Find that connection to the community. What are things the community loves to do? Well, let's use those things to connect with the community, to gather them in, to grow them, and then to send them back out. You know, what are those things that, isn't that what Jesus did, right? He went out to where the fishermen were fishing, right? Even though he was a carpenter. You know, I mean, he went to where people were and he reached out to them in a way that they understood. And he didn't say, I'm going to make you evangelists. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You were fishermen, now you're going to be fishers of men. That relatability, that connectability, Jesus had that, and he wants his church to have that as well. So anyways, at this point, I'm going to pass it on. What we're going to do this morning is just take a look at the vision that God has for New Hope. And instead of me preaching your ear off, we're going to let the elders actually step forward to share little parts of that vision. So it is a great honor to have these people as leaders here in the church, in the body of Christ. And this is going to be Stan's first time speaking, I think. So be praying for him. Give him a hand as he comes forward to share with us how to gather.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey,
thank you. This week, as I was at work, you're all probably familiar with what I do. I am a manager where I'm at. My job is to direct people what to do. You know, I guess in layman's term, I am the kahuna. Okay? But it comes with a lot of responsibility. And with that, in saying that, gathering is the topic that I wanted to speak to you about. And gathering, we all know what it is. Gathering is an assembly, okay? Whether you pick up sticks or something, you assemble them. And we are an assembly as a body, as a believer. But in gathering, in the Bible, in the scripture, it says that when we gather, we are gathering those that are with us. And Luke 11:23 states that if you are not for us, you are against us. And basically what they're saying is that's the difference between the enemy and the saved. Now, who are we to gather? We're not to gather the saved, because Jesus even said that it is not the healthy that need the doctor, but it are the sick. Okay? So in regards to that, what does that mean? How do we gather? How would you gather? Okay? Gathering is the first thing we want to do is we want to pray. Okay, no matter where we're at, we want to pray for the unsick and the saved and our loved ones. That's who we're praying for. We're praying that they would come in to the kingdom of God. And I looked it up on the computer about how do we pray for our unsaved loved ones. Okay, there's a basic prayer you could say, you know, and it was really funny the way it stated it. It says, "Oh dear Lord, can you help my brother? Well, last night he got drunk. And I had to bail him out of jail, and I can't handle this. I can't take this anymore," okay? It sounds funny, but God knows. God knows. He knows people that need it. But I think what happens is in our thing, as in this morning, we understand that in doing that, okay, when we pray for people, what happens is Satan is it says in Scripture, Satan is the god of this world. The sinfulness of this world, the god of the evil of this world. What it ends up happening is he is very, very skillfully and tactically that he puts blinders on those that he doesn't want them to see the light. He does not want them to see, you know, the good of the world. So what he ends up happening is he blinds them people, okay? Had Satan wasn't here to today, everybody would see the light. They would know the love of Jesus Christ. Guess what? You was like that once. Each and every one of you in here this morning was like that. Okay? But it was for someone that prayed for you. I always say this here, you know, probably you're looking at one of the biggest sinners that there was. Okay? But I had someone praying for me. Okay? And when they prayed for them, always remember this. When you pray for them, you must know how to pray for them. You want to bind the spirit the spirit that's withholding them, like the sinfulness, that you want to bind Satan. He has no authority in that loved one's life. He has no purpose there. And you need to know you have the authority, because Pastor Steve just said, and as well as we know this, Jesus said by the authority when he died on that cross and he came back, he said, "I give it to you. I give you all the power that is needed to go and to bind the spirit of Satan so the light of Jesus can be entered in. Now, you might say, okay, well, I've prayed for my loved ones, okay? Maybe it don't come through you. Maybe you're not the person it comes through. But guess what? Your prayers are don't go unheard. God may use somebody else. I don't know. I didn't check with my mother-in-law on this here, but my mother-in-law knew when I first was dating Annette that I wasn't the man that she would have chose, okay? I mean, we laugh about this, but it wasn't who it was for her daughter. But I believe Doreen prayed. She prayed earnestly. She prayed that, Lord, change him. How many of we have had loved ones that were like that, you know? But guess what? It wasn't Doreen that led me to Christ. But guess what? Her prayers did not fall on deaf ears, okay? She used, praise God, but she used, but what she did is she earnestly prayed. And that's what we're supposed to do. If you have a loved one, and I'm not telling you to raise your hand, but we all have loved ones here that are unsaved, okay? And so we want to be always in prayer for them. Guess what? It's not only our loved ones. What about the neighbor that's on the other side of you? What about the neighbor that's down the street? Okay, first and foremost is we need to be praying for them, okay? And we need to know how. And I believe there was a time that Kurt and Eileen came here, and you want to bind them people. You want to put their name in and say, Dear Lord God, you know, I bind up, you know, the power of the enemy that is withholding so on, whoever the name would be, and it's enabling them not to come to Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to do that. So in your daily prayer, you don't need to be basic with it. God knows that. We want to be specific. We want to know. If you know that they have alcoholism, you want to speak to the alcoholism, okay? You want to speak to the addiction that they may have. You may want to speak to them not having clear mindset, okay? That's just something that they were trained to do. People will do things. Why? They'll just continue to repetitively do it, okay? So anyways, in our prayer, and another one that we had in our prayer is what we want to do. We want to make sure that we continue to pray for our loved ones, even though you think they're not being heard. Because like I said, it was through another person that I can still remember that I had a buddy, had leukemia. Okay? Strong guy. We growed up, you know. We're these tough guys, you know. But I could see how God could get into that life and use that circumstance and situation to bring not only him to salvation, but bring other guys like me, okay? There are other people that he used in that circumstance. Why? Because there was prayers being offered up. excuse me. But anyways, it says we need to have relationships, okay, with others, okay? And when we go out and gather, what you want to do is we need to break out of the mindset, it's for me, I don't want bothered, I want to come home, I want to be just with my family. Remember, family is an assembly, okay? So what we need to do is some planning that we want to do to be gathering is we want to invite people to our homes. Not so much to the church, just unsaved ones to your home. Bring them in. Bring them in. Pray to God, ask who you want to bring in. And when they come in, you don't have to preach the word of God to them. Because if you have the love of Jesus inside of you, and if you're just you, okay, they monitor who you are because they know you're Christians. They monitor how you respond and you react to different situations, whether the situations are good or whether they're bad. They monitor who you are. And once they see who you are, they want to know why. God may use you. He may use each and every one of you in here, and he will. He will use you guys in order to reach those guys, okay? Because they're looking. There's a lot of unhappy people. As I prayed this morning, there's a world of lost people out there. They said that Jesus said that the harvest is ripe. It's ready for picking. It's easy picking. But the problem of it is we need to recognize and to recognize it is invite them in. They want to know, why are you happy? Why do you have joy in your heart? Why, when something comes up to you, it doesn't bother you? Okay? They want to know, how do I get there? And then when they receive, just as you've received the day you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, the day that you give it to him, Do you remember the release that you had? How that weight was lifted off your shoulders? Okay? They're looking for that. The world is looking for that. And once again, we need to assemble with others. What we need to do is we need to share and gather with others. It's not so much, we do need to go into out in the world. But guess what? Let's start small. Just invite somebody to your house. You know, whether it's them, whether it's a group of people. This week I shared with Tammy, and I don't mean to call her out, but at Christmas she'll invite people that never even had a Christmas. You know, that they lost loved ones. They're by themselves. Invite them on over. You know, you're not going to sit there and hold church service. You're just going to bring them into your atmosphere. Show them who you are and what you have to do. So that's gathering. That's part of the gathering in our gathering session. And like I said, and there will be like outreaches. You know, don't be afraid that when there's an outreach here at the church, don't be afraid to go into it. You know, this week when Pastor asked me to share today, I'm thinking, let somebody else do it, you know. But you know what? That's the easy thing to do. That's the blinders that Satan wants to put on it. Someone's going to pick it up, you know. But no, you know what? He's saying you. I don't want to stand before him and him say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because it's something that I refuse to do. You know, I want to be as much as part of the kingdom of God as what you do. And we have the tools available. Our Sunday school class, our church, and everything that we do here equips us for our daily occurrences. We're always out there in that world, okay? Like I said, at my job, they come to me wanting to know, what do we do next? What do we do next, okay? God put me where I'm at today. He put me in the leadership position that I am in the world, to where I stand. And when they come to me, they want me to have the answers. Guess what? What they're doing is not working. But you have the answers. That's because they monitor who you are and what you do. Okay? Like I said, I could sit up here and talk all day. Anybody want to miss a Steeler game? But I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't want you falling asleep on me or nothing. But what I'm saying is we know it's in us. It's in us. It's like ragu, whatever. It's in us. It's in there. We need to bring it out. We need to show. It's been given to us, okay, by Jesus, the authority and everything. And so my encouragement to you today is to gather. And when we gather, these are just ways that we can go and we can gather. And like I said, you know, invite them over. And you might say, well, you know, my house ain't clean. So what? Just invite them over. Because guess what? That's who you are. They don't want you to be somebody. Once they find out you're not who you are, you'll draw them away. You'll push them right away. They want true honesty. They want to know who you are. Who are you? You know? Right in even within the church, we're together out there. But even within the church, get to know some of them. Just say, hey, I don't know who you are. You know? Say, hey, would you mind maybe going down to Subway? Or just go somewhere and just say and begin that relationship. Whether it's out here, hey, who are you? Who's your husband? Hey, who's your wife? Or not? You know what I'm saying? Get to know them. Get to know who they are. Once you start with that, and if God leads you to go further, don't turn the opportunity away. Just like being asked to stand up here, don't turn the opportunity away. Okay? Because if one person hears it and responds to it, you've helped one. Okay? Might be a lot of people that don't do what I'm calling to do. But guess what? If one does it, that's one. Then guess what? We can raise our hand and we can say, anybody lead anybody to Christ this year, you can put your hand up. Because why? Because you responded to the call. Okay? Maybe you didn't lead it to it, but maybe you were a part of it. Like I said, as my mother-in-law and those that prayed for me, they were part of my salvation. Okay? So, he said no longer than 15 minutes we were supposed to meet out back, I think. Just kidding. But anyways, like I said, we're here to gather. And, pardon? No. But like I said, but thank you for giving me the opportunity. Like I said, it was a great privilege. I even thought, wow, what am I going to talk about? talk about, but God gave me what we needed, you know, what I needed to share with you. And I feel that's what we need to do as a church, where we're going to move on to. How do we gather? I gave you a way that we can begin to gather and start with the simple thing. Start with the prayer. Start that, and then move on to invite somebody. Talk to them. They'll come. Because if they want to know why you are and who you are, why you do it. They're very, 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 very inquisitive. Just like I always said, deer are that way. They'll see something and ask Dave when you're archery hunting. A deer is real. If it thinks you're in that tree, it'll come out and look, and it'll turn away and get lead. But then it'll come back, and it just keeps coming back because it's inquisitive. It wants to know why. People are the same way. Okay, why are you that way? And they want to. You know, with God's help, He'll place some people to give them a desire to want to know who you are. Thank you.
You'd never know it's the first time. Yeah, Bob. Amen. Wow. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's great when the church does outreach events and everything, but that's what needs to be happening. Amen. Yes, Dan. Amen. Awesome testimony. It's happening. Yes, sis. Awesome. Praise God. See, God's still healing the blind. Wow. Why? Because you are who you are, out doing what you do, and you just share about who Jesus is. I love it. It's happening. All right. Well, next, growing in our faith. I want to invite Dal Silvis up here. You guys have heard him before, but it's always good stuff. I always look forward to a word from Dal. Yeah. More evidence that the Lord's still healing today and restoring. It's going to get there.
A little stiff from sitting.
Sorry. Would you like a chair?
I've got my cane, so I'm able.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here. Stan, you and I were the only ones that prayed about what to wear this morning, so the rest of them just had... So, you know, Jesus said in John that if we stay in on the vine, we'll bear much fruit, and apart from him, we can't do anything. So that's a pretty good introduction to grow. Bible says a lot about growing. He didn't go through what he went through on the cross and everything to just have us come down to the altar, say a prayer, and you're okay. He wanted to do a complete work in each one of us, and that includes being discipled. I'd have some scripture here, but I want to talk about, I'll read the scripture first. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 said, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Oh, 260. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Then 2 Peter 2 Peter, basically the whole first chapter, but I don't want to read it all right now for time. It says on in verse 2, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Then he goes through how God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. And he lists a whole bunch of things that he's given us. And then it says, in view of all this, verse 5, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says a lot about growing. Remember the analogy or the parable that Jesus told about the farmer and the seeds, and he told more than one, but one of them was about the farmer planting seed in his field, and then he doesn't know why, doesn't know how it grows, but it grows, and it keeps come up and produces fruit. I saw a thing on the internet. A man, I was drawn to it because he had the same first name I do, but and you don't see too many of them. But he planted a, must have been out in the Midwest, because he planted a 700-acre field. And he went through all the intricacies of how he did this. He had all this high-tech farm equipment. He had satellite imagery and all this stuff. I never even heard of doing this just to plant wheat. But he said every seed was planted the same depth. And he planted it with a lot of fertilizer, and he because they wanted a big yield. And then he planted, or he did all this other stuff. I can't remember all what it was. But it was a very detailed, very scientific way he did all this. 700 acres. He said there was one thing that was out of his control, and that was rain. They got 0.7 inches of rain. And the picture showed a brown field with a few little things sticking up. And he must not have been a Christian, because he said Mother Nature wasn't very generous this year. But that kind of gave me the analogy in my mind of when you plant a seed. I was going to use the seed is a new convert, which is, Stan just talked about gathering them in. So when you gather them in, there's something planted in them. The Holy Spirit seals them, but they're a seed. They're not a finished product. The fertilizer, then, is the Word of God. The Word of God would enable them to grow and produce fruit. But if they don't have the water of the Holy Spirit carrying the nutrients from the Word of God into them, they're not going to grow. And so they, Jesus wants fruitfulness from his people. He wants to his church to go forward and enforce the victory that he already has. And we need to grow. That's the only way we can do that. You can't grow alone. You can't grow without Jesus. And I've seen it time and time again where people who think they can, you know, I talked to a guy that delivers my firewood. He says, he's a Christian. He's definitely a Christian. But he says, I'm with God out in the woods. And some of the things he says and does don't quite add up. So I kind of think, if he was in the atmosphere of the body of Christ, he would be able to grow a lot better. He's just missing some of the ingredients that he needs. And it's so easy. The Bible uses the word drift, to drift away whenever you're not in fellowship, being built up by other believers. And just like this morning when we had a time of prayer here, you know, a lot of times I'm in the prayer room by myself, and that that gets discouraging. I'm not, you know, crying about it or nothing, but I'm just saying it's hard to keep your focus when you're just sitting there. But if you're in a group of people and they start praying, there's an energy, an atmosphere that's built up, and that unity really makes a lot of difference. That was a bunny trail. And let's see, I'm gonna read Hebrews here too. Oh man. Okay, Hebrews 5:11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull. It's written here, I'm not talking to you. Spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now, we have a home group, and whenever we were down at the other church, before we came here, we had a home group for a while, and it just kind of, that kind of stuck with me, that scripture there, because there was people in that group that, I'm the kind of guy that likes to get people involved and, you know, pass around a reading of the scripture and this kind of stuff. And this one guy would always say, well, I don't know the Bible like you know the Bible. And I'm thinking, how long have you been a Christian? You know, have you ever opened it? You know, Jesus said to some of the Pharisees, have you ever read the scripture? And so that the growth is why we gather. You know, we don't gather them just to, it'd be like taking, my wife goes and she's always buying seeds on sale or something. And it'd be like putting them in a jar and saying, well, I gathered. But if she takes them out and sticks them in the garden and does what necessary, then the growth comes and then the fruit comes. And then, you know, that's why we do it. So it's a long way around me saying, God wants fruit from his church. And look at the parables of the man who gave his servants certain amount of money and how he rewarded the ones who produced fruit and then buried the guy. No, the guy buried. But we just need to honor Jesus by letting him get his word into us deeper. And his Holy Spirit, what a marvelous gift the Holy Spirit is. And learning and practicing and interacting with other Christians and not being afraid of, you know, how many times it's said we're a family. And families, I joke around, you know, when you have a disagreement with somebody, well, they must be my brother or sister. But we do have different perspectives, but be able to, being able to work through those without arguing, fighting, you know, or whatever. Because sometimes you'll have a different view on the scripture, and I could learn something from it, or sometimes the other way around. And so we need to be open to that kind of stuff. That's part of growing. And so I'll end with one more scripture. It's Colossians. Colossians 2. It's two verses. And now as you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into Christ, and let your life be built on him. And then you'll produce the fruit he has for you. Amen.
Amen. We definitely want to be growing in our faith, and that's it. You know, allow yourself to be challenged. Bob's conversations, you know, that's what I miss about secular workplace, because I get challenged by people all the time, and sometimes I had to stop and think about that, you know. Don't be afraid to question yourself and question your faith. That's how you grow. Why is it that we gather together in a church? Why is it that we have worship, you know? Why is it that I believe that or do that? Challenge yourself and find it. Well, last but certainly not least in my books, I invite up my wife, Becky, to share with us the portion of going, part of the vision for the church here. Yeah. You can give her a hand. It's all right.
Well, I personally have probably heard everything that I'm going to say already, so just you'll be hearing it again. But, he kind of prepared it, I think. But what's really neat about the Gather, Grow, Go also is something that God was just kind of reminding me of. It's like a cycle. You know, we have to have the gathering, we have to have the growing, and then as we produce the fruits from our growth, that's how we go about, and we're starting it all again. So that's what I'm going to talk about. But when I first, you know, was asked to talk about this, I thought, okay, so a lot of times when we hear the word go, we automatically think missionaries, right? And even in the end of our statement there, it talks about outreach events and missionaries. And so, yes, we want to support missionaries, and they are going, and they are meeting needs of people that there's no way in the world from here in Pennsylvania that I'm going to reach a need in Africa or India or China or wherever these missionary, world missionaries are. But our church does support many missionaries. We are financially supporting. I was talking to Steve, I think it's like 8 or 9, I think now. Maybe that might be wrong, but I know there's many in the world, all over the world. And you can go out in the hall and you can see our world map and you can see where we are supporting. Financially, we're praying for them, right? Every month, Jan shares with us some news from the world, missionaries that they've sent us information about. And so we are doing great on that, New Hope. You're meeting the missionary. We're doing good on that one. And then I want to talk about outreach events. We've had outreach events over the years that have been extremely successful. We have had our mega sports camp was one of them. I know the youth did an event for the fall fest they did. That was really successful. We've done events over the years at Hope Fests and different things that God was able to bring in some people, bring in funds, bring in whatever the goal was at the time. And I believe some people were really touched by those events, and God has really done a work through those of you who are willing to do that, right? To host it, to do all the footwork and everything that had to do with the events. So we're doing good, right? We have good, successful missionary funding, and we have successful events. So we also have the idea of going, and that's what I'm talking about. In a more personal, individualized manner. And Stan touched on it a lot, and by our growth we can do this. But the first part of the going portion in our vision that is called out and we go over every new member class is going into all the world, according to Matthew 28, and making disciples. We've heard it mentioned all morning many times. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? That completes the cycle. We're going. And the scripture tells us, therefore go, make disciples, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And that's the encouragement, that God is with us, right? So we're supposed to go. So we are all to go into all the world. And does that mean, okay, I need to get a flight ticket to go somewhere far away from here? Maybe God calls you to do that, but that's not what I think we're talking about today. I think it's going into work tomorrow morning, going to shopping, like Stan talked about, going to wherever you are, going and being at home with the family members that maybe don't want to hear it anymore. But God is good and he has a plan in that. And I believe that when we go and we live it out, just like we've talked about many times this morning, that's when God is glorified the most. We have teachable moments that we need to take advantage of. Just like parents at home, when you see a moment where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, this is how we do that, and this is why. And that's what happens when you build relationships with others around you. You can say, wait a minute, okay, no, this is what God said in his word. This is why I do it this way. Because people will ask. They do really have a curiosity when it's so different from anything they've ever seen. And that's what it is, going and being a Christian, living it out, living your faith out, letting the Holy Spirit live through you. Those fruits that he produces, and they can never come from anywhere else. Faithfulness, self-control, that's a big one, I think, that speaks volumes, because this world doesn't have much of that. And all those fruits are so against what the world does, what they believe, what they live by. This culture, it's so different than what God's culture is in his kingdom. So as we go, we're producing those fruits, we're growing. The gathering will happen also. But we have to go out there. We have to be a light in this world. We have to do our part. And that's what being a part of New Hope is about. It's about going and sharing the good news and being all that God's called us to be. I believe that those times, those teachable moments, are the most powerful ministry transformations, whereby a way of relationship and spending time with people, I believe that this is what God means to, or go means to us. We should go, we should be building relationships, and being God's hands and feet. Because Jesus came, he was the hands and feet at the time. He left, he sent us the Holy Spirit so that we can do that. Because he's not physically here now, but his spirit is here, and he outpoured it onto all those who believe in him and will receive that. So we have to be the hands and feet. We have to be the part that has to meet those needs. You know, he's not going to he could just throw things on somebody's, but he uses us. He could just say, okay, here you go. Here, you figure it out. No, he brings us, people that know him, people that are filled with his spirit, to help them and to encourage and to build up and to do physical things too, practical things that his spirit enables us to do. So God designed us for this, for us to do as Jesus did, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of this, of his word. And this is how we truly accomplish going in our mission here at New Hope. The Lord has so many things he wants to do. He wants to reach people through each of us. And only specific people too, for each person. I can't reach people that Steve can reach. He has skills that I don't even know, like computer stuff, and he has all these things that he likes that I'm just like, okay. But me, I can reach people in a different way. And we relate to people differently too. And God, that's his design. And it's really neat, you know. Some of you can reach somebody that I wouldn't. I mean, Tiff and Jason, you guys reach people that I probably wouldn't be able to. Or Dave, or any of you guys. You have your own part in this body that will reach people that not the other people really aren't designed to do. But God can use you in ways that he can't use me or other others. His idea is a multiplication here. So as we go and we meet and we interact with those that God has called us to, they do the same thing, right? As we complete the cycle, they go and they grow and they go and they gather and they grow. So it's God's plan to multiply. And I look around and I don't see multiplying happening too much, but we're getting there. And God's reminding us, right? And so he wants us to remember our mission here. So we want to go and meet the needs of those that only we specifically can. Another really simple way to accomplish the go is by seeing a need and meeting it. Sometimes we see a need on a person, you know, in our lives, and we think, oh, yeah, I should pray for them. Yeah, God wants to do something there, probably. I think he could, but I don't. Yeah, I'll pray for them. Go home, pray. Or pray right then in your mind. Oh, Lord, bless them. But he wants to meet their needs. And sometimes there's needs that maybe I physically can't, but I know someone that could help. And so you get the help, or you put it out there like we did with my friend and widow, right? You say, Lord, I know somebody has these skills. I don't, but, you know, he can use you. And that's what it's about, seeing a need and meeting the need. And sometimes we do. We kind of turn a blind eye, or we think, well, I don't have time for this, and I got other stuff to do, and I'll just pray, and God will work it out. Right? Do we do that? I do it sometimes. But if he's putting it on your heart, he's going to give you some sort of direction on how to actually meet a practical need, because we are the hands and feet. He physically isn't here. He's there through us, and so that's how those needs get met. And sometimes it is, put it out there in the prayer line. Put it out there for people you know have those skills, and they can help meet the needs. And so it's easy to turn a blind eye. It's easy to, you know, think, well, I have my own thing to do. But God has put us there for a reason. And it's easy to think about our own situation. But I believe God wants us as a new hope now to refocus on him, to refocus on this mission. And as we go, as we gather, as we grow, as we go, he's going to multiply this place. People, these chairs are going to be full. And I don't know. He needs us to be ready, though. He needs us to have this mindset that we're here for that purpose and we're here for him. And that's what we're here for, right? I think you all have come and you all have shown that you really love the Lord today and that you remember what it's about. And so I thank the Lord for that, and I thank him for his mission here. I thank him for this place and leading all of you here in the times and the seasons that he did. And he's not done yet. God's not done here. He has so many huge things that he wants to do through us. So I just pray that we continue to open our ears and hearts and minds to hear what he wants to do and to go where he says to go. Follow his lead.
Amen, and that's it. So, you know, I know it's so easy to, as the scripture says in, what was it? Annette, you just quoted it. Habakkuk, yes. You know, seeing the vision as we hurry along, it's so easy to see gather, grow, and go. It's so easy to see connected with the world, you know, with our church family and, you know, with God. It's so easy to see these things that God has said, hey, here's what I want you all to do. It's so easy to see them and to think, well, Someone else will take care of that. Someone else will take care of that, you know. And who is that someone else? We've done shows of hands before to find out that it is no one else. But that God's given you that opportunity. He's placed you for such a time as this. It's not an accident. It's intentional that God has placed you here. And so it's up to us then to choose whether to be intentional about gathering in the lost, growing in our faith and growing other people's faith and going out into the world, whether we're going to do it or not. It's on us. It's our choice. Do you know why? Because you can get rewarded. If you have a choice in the matter, you get rewarded for doing what Jesus calls you to do. You can never sacrifice too much because he can always out-reward you.